I'm Alan Combs. This is Heal Planet, and I want to welcome Karen Bell. Do I call you Karen or KB? You prefer to be called KB.
You can call me either. Most people call me KB.
KB. So. And I discovered Karen KB on Twitter a couple of years ago, and she was tweeting out all this very neat stuff. And then I went to her website, intuitivekb.com, and I discovered that here is this very young person who was intuiting things and becoming very involved in the world of intuition. And I was fascinated by what you were doing. You're putting out these great videos and writing about yoga. And I just became very curious about you, and we became kind of online friends as a result. And I just love the work you do. I also know you're in the musical world, but that's for another show.
Yes.
But I'm really fascinated to learn. You're Canadian. You live in Canada.
Yep.
But I'm really fascinated to learn how you first got involved in developing your intuition. When did this all begin for you?
Sure. Well, I think looking back on my life, I feel like I was probably really highly intuitive all along. Like when I was a kid, my mom would describe me as sensitive. So, you know, I had trouble being in crowds, and I was very sensitive to people's emotions and people's energy. So I think on some level, I've always been connected to that realm.
In what way did you find that you were you having intuitive dreams? Were you looking at people and kind of knowing what was going to happen with them? What was the signal that you kind of had this ability?
Well, I think the thing I noticed the most is that I've always been really sensitive to people's emotional energy. So I would be, you know, even as a kid, I remember, you know, being able to feel what other people are feeling, even despite if they didn't say any words. So that's called an empath. Or their sentience. And it's just basically when you can sense or feel another person's energy without having to verbally talk to them, that kind of thing.
Did this scare you or scare your family?
Well, I think my mom, like when I look at my mom is very empathic as well. So I think on some level, she completely understood, and she did try to shelter me a lot. You know, she knew that I needed a lot of time to myself, and that school, you know, wasn't the best environment. So they sent me to a fairly small public school. And then by the time I got to high school, I actually did most of my high school I did from home, like through correspondence. So I've never been one to really be good at being in large groups of people or big crowds or parties, because I just tend to pick up a lot of energy in it, and it feels overwhelming to someone who's clairsentient.
That's fascinating to me. What would happen to you in a more typical school environment that required you to maybe have a different way of going about your education?
I just remember thinking back, I always felt school fairly overwhelming. So, and you know, we don't teach kids how to protect their energy or release negative energy or that kind of thing. So when you're a kid and you're just feeling all of these emotions coming off different people and you know, being very psychic and receiving visions from different people, that kind of thing, I think it can be very overwhelming because you don't really understand it. Now that I'm older, I'm a little bit better at blocking some and releasing others and that kind of thing. But I mean, it took me a while to learn how to do that.
Mom had the ability to recognize this and the empathy herself to help direct your education in a way that was comfortable for you.
Oh my gosh, I'm so thankful for that. Yeah, because like I said, I probably, looking back on it, I always did very well in school, but I probably wouldn't have finished high school if she didn't help me find the opportunity to do it on my own from home. You know, and at that time, the internet was just getting started, so there was no online learning or that kind of thing. I had to find this correspondence center, and we had to sort all that out and register for that. And so she totally helped me help me complete my education in a different way, you know, because we tend to put kids all in this cookie cutter box of this is how it's done, but not every child can learn in the same way. So
is it generally true that people who have the sensitivity you have and the abilities you have, there's some different way of functioning in the real world? So there's a downside to having this incredible gift that you have.
Well, I think so. I mean, I know that I need to spend a lot of time by myself because that's the time when I recharge my batteries. When I'm around, I still realize now that, you know, I do need to socialize and I do need to connect with people. But I also know that I definitely need a lot of time on my own to recharge. And some people are the opposite, you know, more extroverted people might find that they need to be with people all the time. And that's what really energizes them. But I'm completely the opposite. So I need to be at home. Yeah. I need to work from home. I need to be around, you know, my pets and my plants. Uh-huh. And I really need a quiet space. So.
Also, I'm guessing when you meet somebody, even if you don't meet them in person, if you know somebody online, like we've known each other a little bit online, but if you meet yeah. somebody in real life, that you would immediately be able to sense whether it's a positive person, a negative person, or somebody you should stay away from.
Yeah, I would say that. I mean, my friends, my husband will say I'm a good judge of character in that regard because right, I'll pick up stuff from people pretty much right away and I'll either gravitate towards them or I'll, you know, have the opposite effect where I don't really want to be in their space at all. So
what
I think that's an energetic thing.
What made you decide to take this gift? I think it is a gift. I'm guessing you look at it that way as well. And then mm-hmm. go online with it and, in fact, offer your services to people to answer questions, to give guidance, to go public with what you're doing and what you have.
Well, I think I went through a period of time where I was really lost and confused and depressed and, you know, looking for answers. That was in about 2006 or so that I felt like I was at my worst point. And I just had this kind of, I don't know, miraculous awakening where I remembered something that I had known a long time ago, which is that everything is spirit. And there's much more to the world than we can all see. And, you know, there is a higher power, in my opinion, and there is a higher purpose for our lives. And remembering all of that is what lifted me out of those dark times. And so the reason I felt the need to go public with it is to help other people climb out of that space. Because I know a lot of people are in that dark place right now, you know, and they yeah. need that inspiration. So that's the whole motivation for everything that I do.
So when people come to you or they go to your website, intuitivekb.com, and there's an opportunity there for people to connect with you, get a reading perhaps, what's that like? What's a typical session like? What are some of the things people bring to you and what can you offer them in return?
Sure. Well, people have all sorts of questions. The most popular questions tend to be about their life purpose. Like what am I here for? Basically, yeah, what's what am I supposed to be doing with my life would probably be one of the most popular questions because the soul does have a plan for how it wants to express itself through this physical form. And when we are not in alignment with that, when we're not on track with that, we feel the discord. So a reading can help a person tune back in to what that purpose is or the intention of the soul, how the soul wants to express. So I'd say that would be probably one of my number one questions. I also get a lot of questions about relationships, romantic relationships, even uh-huh. and other relationships. You know, one of the most popular questions is this my soulmate or will I meet my soulmate or, uh-huh. you know, soulmate type questions, which... Uh-huh. I will always do my best to answer, but, you know, I think whoever's in front of you is your soulmate. I think you are your soulmate. Well, because everyone who gravitates into your life has something to teach you. So whoever you're looking at right now, even if it's a super challenging relationship, whether it's a difficult boss or, you know, your child's giving you trouble or whatever that is, it's that dynamic is there to teach you something. It's there to inspire you to grow.
So, that's an interesting concept and that I've often thought about in that regardless of what's happening to you at any moment, even if you think something horrible is going on, that's exactly what is supposed to be happening to you at that time, that the universe is sending it your way on purpose because that's what you have to experience at that time.
For sure. And a lot of people need that contrasting experience, that challenge experience, because it's the only way that they will grow. It's a catalyst for growth. You know, if everything is all hunky-dory and our life is full of rainbows and sunshine, a lot of times we get lazy in a sense. And so we aren't inspired towards growth. And, you know, life really is all about growth. If you're not moving towards something, you're stagnant. And that is, no one really likes that feeling. They don't realize it. People can be afraid of change, but it's that growth and that movement forward that is exciting and makes
life. What people really want is, when am I going to be happy? That's
yes.
really what they want to know. And
yes,
that doesn't always come packaged in a nice bottle.
Right, exactly. And I think the happiness question is kind of funny, because you, in order to be happy at any point in the future, you have to find happiness somewhere right now, even if that's in the midst of a challenge. So,
where does the information come from when you are intuiting? Do you believe it comes from God? Are you communicating with some higher force? Where mm-hmm. do you get the stuff that you're conveying to the people you're talking to?
I think it's a multitude of influences. I definitely feel like when I look at someone energetically, I definitely feel like I'm connecting with their soul or their higher self. I also feel like I'm connecting with their guides or angels. I feel like I'm connecting with my view of the creator, the God energy. And I also feel that I connect with people's loved ones on the other side. They have guidance as well. So a lot of times I'll just get bombarded with a lot of information from different sources. And sometimes I know where it's coming from. Sometimes I don't. The important thing is that it's helpful to the person and that it makes sense to the person. So
we're talking to Karen Bell, and intuitivekb.com is her website. KB is what her friends call her. And you are an intuitive. You also have... I guess what you call spiritual jewelry. Is there such a thing?
Well, I do have a jewelry line that I've designed, made out of healing gemstones or crystals. So, you know, there's many different gemstones in the that you can choose from, many different crystals. And I believe they have healing properties because they all vibrate at a different vibration, emanate different frequencies. And so, you know, it's believed that each gemstone has a different healing power. That can
How do you know which is
you?
The right one for you?
Well, when people ask me, you know, I'll get a lot of just private messages come through and asking me to help a person choose. And so generally I'll go with my intuition first and just tune in to that person and see what would be the best for them. But then also, you know, I have a bunch of books, and there's a really great book called The Crystal Bible that lists like hundreds of crystals and their different healing properties. So that's helpful as well. It's a good reference for anyone who's looking to get into crystal healing.
Have you ever found your intuition was wrong about something?
For me personally, in my own life, or for...
Or either with yourself or with others for whom you were intuiting.
Yeah, well, definitely I feel like when it comes to my own life, I can't really think of a time when my intuition was wrong per se. I think I can think of many times where I haven't followed it and then realized that I should have. But I also think that when it comes to our own intuition, one thing that does block it is our fears, and our ego energy can sometimes warp the information that our intuition is trying to share with us. So I've definitely seen that happen in my life and also with other people. And then when it comes to other people, I wouldn't say, I always feel like the information coming through is accurate, but I feel like any intuitive, including me, can misinterpret the information just because of the nature of the way that it comes through. Mm-hmm. So for example, if I have a clairvoyant vision about something, I could misinterpret that. So the vision would be meaningful and correct, but it is possible to misinterpret something.
Is it something we all can do for ourselves, that we have the ability within ourselves to have the right intuition, if only we could remove the layers getting in the way and then get to the core so we could follow our own intuition? Can anybody do this on their own?
Definitely. You mentioned at the beginning of the show that, you know, you referred to this as a gift, and I think it's something that everybody has. So I don't always call it a gift because I think, well, everyone's got it. But the thing is that, you know, there's a lot of static on the line. There's a lot of distraction. There's a lot of noise in our culture, especially if you're someone who, you know, gets up at 6 a.m, goes to work, works till 8, comes home and is with their family. You know, that's a lot of distraction. And in order to hear your intuition, you really have to have time every day where you're quiet and, you know, by yourself and turning inward, because that's, it's a subtle energy. It's a subtle voice. And so you're constantly, you know, in the midst of noise or in the midst of distraction, you're going to have a heck of a harder time connecting with your intuition than you do someone who spends, you know, a few minutes every day in meditation or does yoga or has more time to themselves, that kind of thing.
You have to also trust your intuition or trust whatever signals you're getting and act on them. How do you know that what you're getting is the real deal versus some kind of false signal based on your own fears?
Well, I think the difference again is when you tune into the feeling of the guidance, because when you tune into the feeling of higher intuitive guidance coming through, it never feels scary or angry, or it's not that lower vibrational energy. Our ego energy can often project fear and guilt and anger, those lower frequency vibrations. So it's a matter of becoming sensitive enough that you can tune in and differentiate between, you know, the higher guidance that always comes through feeling like excitement or passion or joy. That's how you know that is indeed your intuition and not, you know, your personality or your ego. The ego is just trying to protect you. So usually if it's the voice of your ego, it is trying to, you know, scare you on some level, meaning that it might be trying to remind you of what might go wrong here or worst case scenario, that kind of thing.
We keep hearing from all the masters, you know, get rid of the ego. The ego's the causing you all this trouble. Once we can just tamp down the ego, you can really be much better at processing your life. Is that something you believe as well?
I don't really believe in getting rid of the ego, but I do believe that it's good to come to a place of being able to witness it from a distance. That's where meditation comes in, so that you don't take it quite as seriously, you know, because I do believe the ego has a purpose. It does help us practically, you know, when we're thinking or planning, or, you know, the mind and the ego energy can help us. But I just think that it's good to be able to differentiate, because the ego energy will also try to prevent you from, a lot of times it'll try and prevent you from following the soul's calling or the soul's intention, the soul's purpose, because it's that, I don't know, it seems to be wired that what you're most meant to do, you're also afraid to do for some reason. A lot of people are scared to make that jump, you know, and I think that's because one of the reasons that we're here is to evolve and to grow. So how could we grow or evolve if we didn't have that challenge of overcoming the fear? You know, I think we're meant to live and to transcend those fears and realize they're not ultimately real.
Have you figured out for yourself that this is why you're here, that you are here to kind of share this with people? That's the reason
you do what you do? I do feel that way. I do feel that way. I'm also just very artistic and creative. So I feel like my soul wants to express itself in creative ways, in musical ways. But ultimately, I think the underlying purpose is just to remind people, just to help them wake up. And to remind them of their true identity as the soul, not the person, not the personality, not the body. You know, all of that will fade away at the moment of our death. But what continues is this soul, this spirit. And it's important to keep that in mind.
What do you say to in general to someone who says, how do I find out why I'm here, what my purpose is? How can I get to, is there any general guideline if someone is saying, well, how can I find out what my purpose is?
Well, my favorite tip or piece of advice for that is to go into a big bookstore like Barnes & Noble or whatever big bookstore is in your city.
And if there are still bookstores, yes.
Yes, exactly. Or, this is the best way of doing it. And then just see which section you gravitate to. Because wherever your passion is, wherever your interest is, that's also a signal of what your calling is. So when you notice what you're passionate about, what you're interested in, what naturally intrigues you, you'll also discover what your soul is calling you towards at the same time.
When you're in a bookstore, where do you gravitate to? Who are the authors and who are the people that inspire you?
Oh, I gravitate right to the new agey kind of section, yeah. All of the psychic development books. I love Eckhart Tolle, Abraham Hicks. Those are two of my favorites. I love Byron Katie. Yeah. That would be primarily the section I visit. And then I love looking at anything artistic, you know, like just graphic design and art and all that kind of stuff that's secondary.
I think Jerry from Abraham Hicks, didn't he die recently, or he's no longer with us?
He did, yeah. I think about 2 years ago he passed away, but he's still very much, his energy, you can tell when you read the Abraham books or tune into the videos, he's still very much a part of it, in my opinion. His soul or his energy is still very much a part of it.
Right, now that gets into the area of spirit guides. Do you have an angel or a spirit guide that you think is somehow communicating through you?
I mean, I feel like I definitely believe in angels, and I definitely feel them around me, and I definitely feel and see angels around other people as well, and I definitely feel that everyone has a spirit guide as well. Some of the guides are protective, some of the guides are guardians, some of them, you know, step into our lives for a shorter amount of time to help us with a specific project, that kind of thing. So I don't feel that... I wouldn't say that I can think of a particular spirit guide I feel is working through me, but I definitely feel beings around me helping me, for sure.
What's your concept of God?
Question,
right?
First, let me tell you what isn't my concept of God, because sometimes that helps. It isn't a man in the sky with a beard who's very judgmental, and it isn't a human, you know. It isn't like this, like we think of this man who's human and
keeping score.
That's not my idea of God. But my idea of God is just an energy field that is highly intelligent. And, you know, Michael Bernard Beckwith described it as the energy of love, beauty, which is so simple. It's just this energy of intelligence, this energy of love, this energy of beauty that it's expressing itself through the world and through us. And so when I think of my creator, that's the energy that I think of.
So it's an energy, not a being per se.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, it's hard to, I mean, when you think of a being, that kind of suggests that it's a contained individual, right? Which is difficult. I mean, I think a lot of the difficulty with this lies that it's so huge that it's beyond our ability to really accurately describe what it is. But the reason I like to think of it as energy is that's so much more all-encompassing than a being, because I do feel that that God is expressing itself through all of us.
Are you you talked about meditation. Do you meditate on a regular basis? Do you daily meditate?
I do. I have to, because I give so many readings that I have to meditate before and after. So I have to be in that quiet state in order to tune into someone and give a reading. And then I have to meditate after in order to disconnect from them and release all that energy.
That's interesting. So you get so wrapped up or so... intuitively involved with a person and their needs that you have to put yourself in a special space both before and after any reading.
For sure. And if you don't, and that's a tip for someone, again, when I mentioned before how you can get very overwhelmed as an empath, and that's because a lot of times what happens is that people are tuning in to another person's energy when they're around them in their space, and then if they don't disconnect from them, then it's almost like they take little shards of their energy home with them in their auric field.
Shards, so, that sounds like it hurts, yes.
So they can be, I mean, it can work in a good way if you're connecting with someone who's very joyful, but if you're connecting with someone who's very depressed or very angry and you're carrying that energy around with you, it can be very destructive and very tiring as well.
Do you favor a certain kind of meditation, whether it's a mindfulness or TM, or is there a particular method you use?
Well, I think with me, because my mind is so, I have a really overactive, imaginative, creative, artistic mind. So it's hard for me to, you know, like in meditation, when people are talking about stilling your thoughts, that's difficult. I have to have something to focus on. So a lot of the meditation I do actually involves visualization, so that I have something to look at while I'm meditating. So when, for example, if I'm preparing for a reading, I will imagine, I'll look at my own energy field. I'll imagine it clearing out or changing colors or that kind of thing. And so that for me is so effective because I'm tuning into spirit, but you know, my mind is active and busy at the same time. So for me, that's been the best and the most effective.
So you don't do a mantra, you don't do just a, let's say, a mindfulness or Zen meditation. You're actually actively visualizing when you meditate.
Yes, yeah, that seems to be what's worked for me. Occasionally, I'll repeat, I would say, affirmations during meditation. That's usually only if I'm in a place of, if I find myself in a place of anxiety or, you know, if I find myself unbalanced and I need to bring myself way back to center, then I might say an affirmation over and over in order to bring myself back. But usually it involves some sort of visualization. And then when I'm disconnecting from the person after a reading, it's also a matter of visualizing me withdrawing my energy from them and releasing it down something called a grounding cord to release it back into the earth. And so, yeah.
Do you find yourself becoming more intuitive as you get older? Does it change? Is the nature of what you are perceiving changing in any way? Or is it just always been there kind of the way it is?
Well, I feel like I'm getting more intuitive, but I think that's because I'm paying more attention to it and I'm taking it more seriously as time goes on. So I'm not sure if I'm actually getting more intuitive or if I'm just paying attention to it more. And I'm also becoming more and more interested in the mediumship aspect of giving readings, meaning connecting with people's loved ones on the other side. That seems to be increasing in frequency, meaning, you know, I'll be giving a reading and then all of a sudden I'll feel someone's relative or loved one around me. So I'm getting more involved in that. So I'm not sure I would say I'm getting more intuitive, but I think maybe my area of focus seems to be shifting a bit.
What kind of messages come through from the other side?
The most popular message would be that the person just wants to know their family or loved one to know that they're still very much alive and they're still very much a part of the lives of their loved one. They're still seeing everything that's going on. They're taking part in all the celebrations and the family events and the birthdays and the weddings and the babies being born. And that seems to be the most important thing that they just want everyone to know they're still around.
And for the person for whom you're reading, probably they want some kind of closure about someone who may have passed on.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it also just helps that person know that their loved one is still around them, especially if there is some sort of unresolved issue or if they didn't get a chance to say goodbye, if they didn't get a chance to apologize, then they know that that person is still around. That person can still hear them. So, you know, it's never too late to offer the words that you always wanted to say.
Well, your work is extremely fascinating. I've always been fascinated by what you're doing. And if intuitivekb.com is your website for those who want to check it out. And so, Karen, I appreciate very much your talk to us on Heal Planet today.
Thanks, Alan. That was great. It was great
to
talk to you.
Thanks so much.
Thanks.
I'm Alan Combs. This is Heal Planet.